complicated. You don't need more volume. You need better questions. Better questions. Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk. Lets them talk. Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headline. Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays, 2 to 4, on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I was proud to say that I was American by birth and Georgian by the grace of God. It was not uncommon to hear others openly proclaim their allegiance to God and country. At our grammar school, St. Benedict's, we started each school day by lining up two by two and class by class in the schoolyard to watch the raising of our flag and to say the Pledge of Allegiance before silently marching to our respective classrooms.
This speech that Clarence Thomas gave at UT Austin was phenomenal. I just kind of want to play the whole thing for you. And I know I have cut, I kid you not, 65 clips. I'm not going to get them all in today. But I want you to hear so much of this because this speech got reported as Clarence Thomas goes on tirade against progressivism, blames Nazism on Woodrow Wilson or whatever. And, I mean, that's true. That's a part of his speech as well. But there was so much more in it, and it made me so sad, but not surprised, to see how trite and stupid the headline coverage of this speech was, because it was phenomenal. For example, the whole section in the beginning, when he's talking about growing up in America as a black student under Jim Crow / segregation in the South, right? And yet here he is, a conservative, a believer in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, which, you know, the Declaration of Independence says things about the value of black people that the Constitution didn't say for a long time and that our country didn't say for an even longer time after that. So how do you reconcile that difference?
Even as so much of our God-given and constitutional rights were denied us, we still faithfully said the Pledge of Allegiance, memorized the preamble to the Constitution, and yearned for the fulfillment of its promised ideals. Sadly, these sentiments are not as widely shared among our fellow citizens today, and they certainly do not seem to have that sustaining strength that they had back then. In fact, all too often, the sentiments tend toward cynicism, rejection, hostility, and animus toward our country and its ideals.
I mean, the distinction here between as a kid growing up under oppressive laws that did not treat him as a black man or a black child fully as human. He had hope for the future, belief in the country, that the Declaration of Independence principles that all men are created equal would come true, could come true, were still the principles of this country, even though this country didn't live up to it. Versus now, when there's more freedom and more liberation and more equality than ever before, and yet so many people have abandoned those ideas and abandon the country and don't believe in it or them and instead have given in to pessimism and cynicism. It's such a, you know, the people who actually suffered oppression still believed in America. The people who aren't really suffering it much now have given up on America. Problems that have to be fixed.
The second paragraph of the Declaration proclaims, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Throughout my youth, these truths were articles of faith, that were impervious to bigotry and discrimination.
Which he would have experienced all the time. The difference between growing up in country A, which is run by some monarchical system, or run by even some, you know, constitutional republic that nevertheless does not guarantee the clarity of those rights, but any other system where you don't have those ideals and you're experiencing bigotry and oppression, and you, I mean, what do you have to hope for? What do you have to believe in? Or you grow up in America, flawed, messed up, all kinds of problems, including racial segregation and oppression. But that country also said these things. And he says, that's what, no matter what I saw around me, I could still believe in these things and hope that they might fully come true, or more come true as time progresses, or one day.
The American Heritage Dictionary of English Language defines self-evident as obviously true and requiring no proof, argument, or explanation. Whether they had a divine source or a worldly one, they were never questioned. They were the Holy Grail, the North Star, the Rock, immovable and unquestioned.
Embedded in the popular consciousness of everyone who lived in this country, including people like Black Americans, who were nevertheless struggling under a system that clearly had not yet lived up to that ideal.
Despite the multiplicity of laws and customs that reeked of bigotry, it was universally believed among those Blacks with whom I lived and who had very little or no formal education that, in God's eyes and under our Constitution, we were equal.
Even though we weren't in practice, we were in the ideals of the country, and of course, in God's eyes, whose eyes are the ones that matter the most.
We were made in the image and likeness of God. That proposition was not debatable and was beyond the power of man to alter. Others with power and animus could treat us as unequal, but they lacked the divine power to make us so. Somehow, without formal education, the older people knew that these God-given or natural rights preceded and transcended governmental power or authority. When you lived in a segregated world with palpable discrimination and the governments nearest to you enforced laws and customs that promoted unequal treatment, it was obvious that your rights or your dignity did not come from those governments, but rather from God.
No matter what we saw around us, and even with what we saw around us, in a country that espoused those ideals, we always knew that it was true, and that a man who made laws that sought to take those rights away still could not take our right to those rights, our dignity, our being made in the image of godness away from us. And we knew that. We all knew that.
Those truths were self-evident to the adults in our lives and were taught to us as indelible, undeniable truths. Those around us would endure or could endure the insults of segregation with dignity because they knew that in God's eyes, they were equal.
It's like I said, this is only the first part. I mean, this is like the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the speech. Of a speech that was, you know, hour and a half. Okay, plus Q&A at the end. But just the basic idea that in a country that was flawed, in a system that was clearly not perfect, not living up to its ideals, that nevertheless, Black Americans could be proud of the country and hope for the future in which it would start to live up to those ideals. And we never doubted this. We never questioned this. We all knew this to be true. And it gave us hope, no matter what we saw around us, that that was where we were headed.
But the principles of the Declaration of Independence, as I encountered them, are a way of life. They are not an abstract theory. that only that you only learn in college or law school, but the basic premises of our Constitution and government that you can learn from the people all around you.
And of course, the difference, as he's getting ready to lay out, is that unfortunately today we have people, so many people, who don't really know, don't really believe, don't really take for granted, or learn the opposite. You know, that America's a horrible place, a terrible place, it has oppressed people, which is not false, but is not the whole truth. Just like talking about the ideals of the Declaration of Independence is not the whole truth. These are our ideals. Here's where we have, you know, failed to live up to them. But here's where we have gradually improved living up to them and tried so much to do so. So the Declaration of Independence itself, what was the idea?
Even in this time of questioning and criticism of our founding, we should not forget that the Declaration established the principles that produced, despite all of its our imperfections, our miscues, and our tragic mistakes. It gave us the freest, wealthiest, and most powerful nation in the history of the world. It provided the moral principles by which Frederick Douglass, Abraham Lincoln, and Martin Luther King would criticize the institutions of slavery and segregation. The Declaration, in fact, along with the Gospels, one of the greatest anti-slavery documents in the history of Western civilization.
Yes. It's the principles of the Declaration of Independence and the Gospels are why we had a civil war, why we overturned slavery, why we collectively as a country realized that separate but equal and segregation and Jim Crow was all wrong. It's the way the modern, I hate to use this word, but it's true. Most modern liberals, okay, progressives, as he's going to get to calling them here in a minute, view the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence is the Constitution and Declaration of Independence were flawed and messed up, and they'd focus on the Three-Fifths Compromise, and they'd say, yeah, but it didn't accomplish anything, you know, and everything else still had to be done. No, it set out the stake. It set out the goal, the ideal, toward which we were continually aiming or correcting. And it gave people the thing like a, I don't know, a spike in the rock that we were trying to climb up the wall of, that we could remind people, hey, this is what we really believe in. This is what our country is all about. And what we're doing here with black people is incompatible with that. Let's go. Let's fix it.
The ideas of the Declaration are so powerful that our nation could not coexist with the contradiction created by the great evil of slavery.
And even though it was written into the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence was the correcting document that said to the Constitution, you have to fix yourself. You have to be remedied if we're going to really believe in what we say we believe in.
Those principles were so powerful that hundreds of thousands of Americans fought and died in the Civil War to make men free. Those ideas have been so powerful that they convinced our nation to finally end segregation. They continue to be so powerful today that they have inspired people throughout the world to throw off the shackles of their own oppressors.
And something that probably we don't talk about enough is how many societies and people around the world have been inspired by those very ideals that, you know, all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. But that's not all. And what I love about this is he goes beyond just that to the other two key principles in that second paragraph of the Declaration and how they shape not only our understanding of what government is, who humans are, who God is, but our relationship between all those things.
We should also not forget the important sentence that follows, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted. The principle of consent follows from the principle of equality. We the people can never legitimately consent to the violation of our God-given equality.
Absolutely right.
And the principle of the consent of the governed flows naturally from and protects the rights laid out in the first couple of sentences.
However, when I encounter the Declaration of Independence anew today, I am most struck by the final sentence. It can be easy to forget, 250 years later, the courage it took for those 56 men to sign the Declaration. Arguably, those men committed treason against the king, risking death at the hands of an empire far mightier than the newborn United States. They thus concluded with the memorable final sentence, and I quote, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor."
It's the ideals. It's the idea that government that violates those ideals is unjust. And then the idea that government that violates those ideals must be changed, must be remedied. We must put forth the effort, not academic knowledge, but action to make it so.
It is the devotion expressed in the final sentence of the Declaration, the willingness to do anything for our principles that has throughout American history been most indispensable. It is that devotion that we are missing today and that we must find in our hearts if this nation is to endure.
So great, so important, so trivialized and misrepresented by the headlines that were reported about this speech when he gave it at UT Austin. We'll come back to this throughout the day. Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, speaking at the University of Texas, Austin. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430. Again, 800-478-6430. 6430.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You are beaten. It is useless to resist.
The pitch turned into a 108-mile-an-hour off-the-bat shot.
That was something that you will not see again.
Between the buttons,
It went in his jersey at 108 miles an hour, right between the buttons.
Just unbelievable. And then he didn't know where it had gone, and so he's searching for it. And then he manages to fish it out. It barely fits between the buttons. The shirt had to be open just the right way for it to happen. There's a picture of the Mariners pitcher with this ball where you can see Logan Gilbert. You can see him in the recovery phase of pitching, you know, with his other foot coming down, and the jersey stretched out completely to the side with the ball in it, pulling the jersey out entirely on his left side. It's the craziest thing ever. Thank God he wasn't seriously hurt. Certainly anything bad could have happened. But the one thing a lot of people is like, well, he caught the ball. That's an out. Nope.
That's what I was going
to
ask.
You have to catch it. You have to catch it with your hand or your glove. This is why, for example, people may not know this, that if, you know, a ball goes over your head, like 5 feet up, and you might think, like softball players, sometimes you see them try this, throw your hat up to catch the ball. Illegal. You cannot use your hat to catch a ball. You cannot use anything other than your glove or your hand to catch and control a ball. So technically, it's out of play, which means the runner's safe. So the runner's awarded the base, and that's all there is to it. There was another case where this happened several years ago, and the call was that he was out, and the pitcher ran off the field real quick, you know, to pretend like that's the right rule, I guess, and they just wound up calling him out over it, even though that is the wrong rule. So everybody online is like, he caught the ball, he controlled the ball, he held it with his hand before it touched the ground. Nope, when it went in his shirt, it was out of play, just like it had gone under the ivy at Wrigley.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Nearly a dozen people injured when a massive tornado slams Enid, Oklahoma.
A lot of people out in Gray Ridge, their homes are leveled.
Gray Ridge is a neighborhood in Enid. Fox Weather's Britta Merwin.
The Enid tornado, very close to Vance Air Force Base where the actual report was made. But again, that was a powerful tornado that did a lot of damage. The surveys will be going on today.
Now she says, this is day two of a multi-day event. President Trump again saying he's in no rush to cut a peace deal with Iran.
I want to make the best deal. I could make a deal right now. Do you know that if I left right now, we had a tremendous success. It would take them 20 years to rebuild, but I don't want to do that.
War Department will provide the American public with another briefing on the conflict with Iran, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, America's top general, Dan Keene, will be speaking. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 62 degrees right now. We've got mostly clear skies. We're going to get a look at our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson, and that's up here in just a few minutes. Well, the University of West Florida coming off its best year ever by just about every measure. Provost Jeremy Cole telling trustees yesterday that the university exceeded all 11 of its state performance funding metrics.
UWF this year has delivered exceptional results, exceeding all 11 established goals. And notably, the university is demonstrating year after year, year over year, improvement. And I would argue that this is the university's best performance on the PBF metrics to date.
And that from yesterday's Board of Trustees meeting, the strong academic performance comes alongside record enrollment. UWF also topped 15,000 students for the first time in its 58-year history last fall. Well, Pensacola Sports CEO Ray Palmer has now been inducted into the Sports Event and Tourism Association Hall of Fame. Palmer's credited with raising Pensacola's profile as a sports destination, a mission that he's devoted a lot of his life to fulfilling.
I have been at Pensacola Sports for right at 25 years. I'm in my 25th year currently. And this is basically a lifelong achievement of working in the industry.
And some of Palmer's biggest impacts include his help in bringing in major events like the SEC soccer tournament and the Sun Belt Conference basketball tournaments here to our area. Well, a 33-year-old New York man has been indicted in Pensacola on charges related to a stolen identity and access device fraud ring. Dustin Lemon Carpio faces charges involving conspiracy to commit wire fraud, possession of 15 or more counterfeit access devices, use of a false passport, and aggravated identity theft. Now, if he's convicted on all counts, he could face more than 40 years in prison. A jury trial has been scheduled for May 18th. The case was investigated by the State Department's Diplomatic Security Service and the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. It's 5:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a lovely day today with a small chance of a stray sprinkle, 10% overall, otherwise mostly sunny skies. High near 78 degrees, low tonight near 68 degrees. For Saturday, 40% chance of rain as we go into the morning and afternoon, otherwise mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
62, clear skies right now. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your Money Now. Shares in Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company surged 5% to a fresh all-time high this morning after the island's regulator said it plans to loosen limits on funds allocation to single stocks. TSMC last week reported a 58% increase in first quarter profit, beating estimates as the boom in artificial intelligence drives demand for chips. Voyager Technologies CEO Dylan Taylor said on CNBC that an inflatable lunar base could be operational on the moon by the end of the decade. Dave Cavosa, president of the Commercial Space Federation, said that the moon economy is about to boom. Chinese artificial intelligence startup DeepSeek has released a preview version of its long-awaited V4 large language model, allowing users to test its new capabilities and features. Its earlier R1 model disrupted markets with strong performance at a lower cost. Rising Chinese competition intensified pressure on global AI spending strategies. Futures are mixed. That's your money now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Pensacola, you don't have to drive to 30A or Destin to get a wonderful beach house. Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach is over 5,000 square feet with 9 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, a private heated pool, and big wraparound porches for 26 adults. It's built on sand level, so grandparents, toddlers, and anyone with mobility issues can enjoy the beach without climbing flights of stairs. Host a family reunion, milestone birthday, or small beach wedding, and keep everybody under one roof instead of scattered in hotel rooms. Right now, they're featuring special staycation pricing for local residents on available dates at Casa de Luna. Call 850-485-7222 to check dates and ask for local rates. Again, 850-485-7222. See pictures and link to the comprehensive VRBO listing. Go to CasaDeLunaPensacola.com. That's CasaDeLunaPensacola.com.
In every emergency, before help arrives on scene, a calm, steady voice is already at work. 911 dispatchers in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties are the first responders, answering calls, asking the right questions, and sending help in seconds when every moment counts. During National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, thank these unseen heroes who work around the clock to keep our Escambia and Santa Rosa County families and neighborhoods safe.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news, right now.
Right now.
Here's Brian, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, we have Eric Winstrom. He is the chief of the Pensacola Police Department, relatively new chief. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Yeah, 7 weeks in, still relatively new.
Okay, but we've had a change of status since the last time we talked a couple of weeks ago. You are now a real cop in Florida?
As of yesterday at about noon, I am official. Yeah, I had to spend the last couple weeks taking some mandatory training. They did not take it easy on me. I was out at a driving course, again, navigating cones. I spent a full day Sunday on the range, shot, I don't know, 300 or 400 rounds. And then yesterday I took the state mandated written test and passed. So, but they did not take it easy on me because I was a chief at all.
Now, is this, I'm kind of curious, did you go through the same, is it the same certification that any law enforcement officer in Florida goes through, or was there some heightened scrutiny because you're the chief? I just don't know.
Well, if you come from out of state, what they do is they look at the records that you bring with you. So I gave my Chicago Police Academy records, all the in-service training that I'd done throughout my career, and they look at it and they say, what's equivalent to what we're doing now, and what are you lacking?
Okay.
And that we need you to know in Florida, and they have to put you through that. So there could be a little bit different, but as far as did they treat me different from I was chief, when I was out on that firing range, and it was a retired officer who really knows his stuff was standing next to me given my qualification course, I kind of felt a little more added pressure that, he doesn't give breaks to anybody. He didn't care if I was a chief or not. So I thought they actually were a little bit harder on me, but that's a positive thing.
Yeah, that's great. Was it at the sheriff's office one over there on the west side of town on Longleaf? Is that the one you were at?
Very thankful that they let us use that range. It would be great. You know, they're very busy and we're busy too. And training is so important to me. It would be great if we found some alternative to that too, just to take some pressure off them. But I know land isn't cheap, and finding some place that you can fire some rounds without disturbing the neighbors is sometimes hard.
Yeah, and I know they're very busy at that facility. And they've got the shoot house now. I mean, it's a great facility. Is that something you're looking to develop? Is a PPD devoted facility? That, I mean, certainly you could outsource it to GBPD or Milton or whatever.
Absolutely, but I think you know, I'm a good steward of public funds, and the bottom line is those are expensive. So so maybe a partnership if we could explore that. Maybe some nice philanthropic group wants to come along and say, hey, we understand there's a need here, and it's great for training. And we want to see what we can do. So, but that's definitely on my list of possible opportunities, but mindful of the budget.
You know, okay, this is completely like the third level tangent to my original question of how you got certified. But does anybody ever do like a business that would have a shooting range that is at the standard that you could use for police qualifications? Because it seems like, you know, the kind of people who like to shoot guns would love to shoot on a real range, you know, that the cops might use. And then that would be a public-private partnership kind of opportunity. I just don't know if that even happens in the industry.
Absolutely. And it does happen. And I've experienced that myself in a couple places that I've worked that take those opportunities. I mean, you just got to make sure all the insurance is up to date and ready to go. And you can have those public private partnerships.
That's
so
cool.
Absolutely, right. Possibility. Sometimes the limitation is just size.
Yeah.
A lot of these private, especially the indoor ranges, they might only be 5 or 6 lanes.
Sure.
So that's a concern.
And I know this is, we're kind of still on this, but the driving, was it over at Brunson Field where you ran through the cones? Because I had a chance to do that last year and I learned that I can never ever do the shuffle steering. I have tried the shuffle steering. I cannot. I mean, I can, but I hate it so much.
You get in these mindsets of doing something for 20 years, and the shuffle steering is something that was new to me, and they were, you know, I had to do it
to pass,
to survive the day to get through it. But it was pretty intense.
Yeah,
whole,
I mean,
day,
like,
over there, and yes, that's where it was.
I mean, I'm 55. I've been driving since I was 16 years old, 38, 39 years. I'm not learning to steer for new. I can do it to pass, but I don't want to do it. All right, so let's talk about some things.
Go ahead. I was going to say, when I started shooting on Saturday, they had the optics with the red dot in them.
Like, yes.
You're looking through a fire.
Yes.
And that's really good if that's how you train. But I've been shooting for, you know, 26 years without it. So I asked them, I was like, can you turn this off while I shoot? It's really distracting. I had to get that. So it's something I'll need to train up on.
No, I had the exact same. That's so funny. Because I was like, everybody swears by it. You know, my son who loves guns, he's like, Dad, you just got to convert. And all the cops obviously use the red dot. And I'm like, I hate it. Give me an iron sight, man. I don't know how to do this thing. So that's so funny.
Yeah.
Not a lot of big high-profile news incidents this week, but I did want to ask you a couple of things that are going on that are interesting. Obviously, we had this First Amendment auditor thing with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and I know I've talked with Mike Wood, the PIO, about this. There are all kinds of these things out there, but you saw this video, or you saw enough of it. How do you train police who, I know what you hire for is you hire good people that can be trained to be cops, right? How do you train for those kind of handling stress, handling conflict, de-escalate? You know, how do you train for this to be more effective? Not just that situation, but in general.
It's tough because we hire only human beings.
Yeah.
And you expect to put a robot cop out there and just, be stoic all times. But we are humans. And I understand that. So one of the things that I do, literally every recruit that I've ever hired as chief, so on hundreds of now officers, on their first day, I would sit down with them with the command staff and go over expectations. And the very first expectation that I say is something that helped me when I was young. Now, somebody told me it was when you start your job, keep in the back of your mind or the front of your mind that somewhere around 30% of your paycheck, we are paying you just to have your feelings hurt, so that when you're standing out there and somebody's trying to get under skin and you're going back to your human sense of, I have to react to this. They're talking about, people say the craziest things. They're talking about my mom. They're talking about my family. And the human in you reacts. If you can just revert to remembering, hey, wait a minute, this is my job is just to stand here and get my feelings hurt. You can actually rationalize it and overcome it and say, like, okay, I just stand here. I'm getting paid to do this. This is kind of takes you to another place, but it is hard. Now, having said that, in this deputy's defense, I realize there's no law about being an ignorant jerk, but these First Amendment auditors, the best thing for that guy probably was the fact that he was interacting with someone with a badge and a gun, because that was protecting him from her human reaction of what she really wanted to do. Because if you talk to the way these people interact with police officers, if you talk to somebody like that in the real world, you're going to have stronger repercussions. So, do we need to recognize First Amendment? Absolutely. Are we all human? Yep. Should there be a law against being an ignorant jerk? Probably not, but it doesn't make you a good person to do that.
I love that observation about 30% of your pay is just for you to take getting your feelings hurt. That's fab. And I had the same reaction. I thought, what this guy needs is a pretty good punch in the face, and if he hadn't been dealing with the cop, he probably would have gotten it. We're talking to Eric Winstrom. What's that?
I've had so many people tell me, you're lucky you've got that, that badge and gun. Otherwise, and I'm thinking, you're lucky I've got this badge and gun. This is the fact that I'm wearing this, that I'm representing the police is the only thing protecting me from taking action like a normal human would do.
Now, you've only been in the job 7 weeks, so this might be the last time that I ask you. I might ask you again, but I always am a big believer in the new eyes phenomenon. When you come into any institution or structure, you see it with new eyes, and pretty quickly you adjust. It's like, daytime eyes in a dark theater, you adjust pretty quickly, but that momentary or maybe a couple of weeks long where it's all new to you, and so you see the ugly, dumb, silly spots better. Are you seeing anything? Is there anything that, you see here that we need to do differently at this point? Because last time you basically said, things look good, which I understand. But are you seeing anything with your new eyes yet?
Well, I'll keep the statement that I am super optimistic, and the foundation of just an amazing police department with amazing, amazing people is there. So this is definitely, I'm set up for success. Are there things to change? Yes. I mentioned the range for one thing. Training is so important to me. Some less exciting things like our records management system. I've really been taking a deep dive into that because public facing data is so important to me and making sure that we can provide that. I had a request from the mayor. Hey, how many, the mayor's office asking certain traffic crash data. And it was really hard to draw something that you should be able to easily get from your records management system. I know it's not one of those exciting things that you talk about when you think policing, but so one of the great benefits of this training that I went through over the past couple of weeks, training is so important to me. I really didn't know what we were putting our officers through. And now having gone through so much of it myself and seeing the caliber of the personnel we have working in training, that just made me even more optimistic. We've got such a great foundation and we're headed in the right direction. One other positive thing, I went through this course for lateral, officers coming from out of state, and there were three young men who were coming from, you know, as far away as Wisconsin looking for employment. All three applied to Pensacola and exceptional candidates. That combined with the exceptional people that we have in the academy process right now, things are looking up. We're going to fill the few vacancies that we have and keep looking to build a stronger police department.
Outstanding. Very good. Now, you've got a thing coming up. You're going to be playing basketball at the YMCA. Is that right?
The Escambia Warriors have invited us to participate. It's going to be Saturday, 1 p.m., the downtown YMCA. And the Escambia Warriors are – that's a team – that is part of the Special Olympics organization, one of my favorite organizations and certainly one of my favorite to partner with from the police department. We have such a good relationship with them and in the previous agencies where I've worked, and that relationship is so important to me to support the athletes, support their families, and it's going to be 1 to 3. It's a good time. I know it's open to the public if you want to stop by and cheer on these athletes. Really remarkable group, and it's a lot of fun.
You know, it sounds like one of the things that our local law enforcement does so well is the kind of, some people call it community policing. I think of it more as just public outreach. It's, you know, like the touch a truck stuff or the coffee with a cop or crawfish and, you know, all of the different things that are done as a way of sort of humanizing the police and getting especially young kids in challenged neighborhoods to have contact with law enforcement so that becomes normal to them and they see you as people instead of, you know, the 5-0 and the badge and all that kind of stuff. I assume these are all things that you intend to continue and expand?
Absolutely. And it's so important that if your only interaction is, you know, you were in the passenger seat of your parents' car when they got stopped and given a ticket, or you were there when your brother got arrested. If you're only having interactions with police officers under, you know, enforcement type scenarios like that, it can really impact how then you see the police and how you yourself interact with the police moving forward. And starting at a young age, these non-enforcement situations, these humanizing, just meeting the police officer and finding out they're more than just the uniform. They're real people. They're good people. They care about people. Not only is it a positive experience, it's good for, you know, that how the perception of policing is, but it can really impact those scenarios moving forward. That same individual who had, this positive experience when he was in class talking to a police officer that stopped by school, 5 years from now, they might be in some sort of crisis. And a police officer walks in, and they still have that in their mind. This is a human. This is somebody that cares. So it often just leads to better outcomes.
You know, we're running out of time. I did want to ask you. Obviously, there's a small group of people that I do think represent more than just themselves, but they keep coming to the city council meeting to talk about the flock cameras and technology, and they're very passionate, and they don't particularly listen to other people who disagree, and they are socialists, and I mean, that's fine. You know, that's legal. But this is a continuing issue, and I know you're an advocate of the technology, and you've said so quite vigorously, but have you and D.C. maybe talked about the possibility of doing a brief, of doing a Q&A, of doing something to – and I know it may not work for them because they may not be there for just this reason, but for political advantage, whatever, but something so the public can really get their questions answered more than just they get them answered from you and I talking on the radio or something like that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. From the mayor's office, I know everything's on the table. I think they were probably going a little easy on me, knowing that I was transitioning into this role, that I was doing a ton of training and just sort of, you know, learning everybody's name, where to park, where, you know, everything. But moving forward, I'm huge on transparency. If there are people with sincerely held beliefs and concern, I am always willing to talk with them. And if that also amounts to some sort of presentation, always willing to do that. And flock is that's an easy one to me. And in most police officers' mind, that's a ground ball. It's not controversial at all, but it has become sort of a cause that's been carried out by these socialist groups across the country. I've heard the same script over and over the last two departments I've been at. That you'll see the speakers go up with their cell phones and read the group that they get from the socialist group website, and that's fine. But if they're sincerely held beliefs and concerned and people want to know the actual facts about flock, I can share it. And they're not, you know, be somebody with a sort of libertarian mindset myself. It's nothing that I'm concerned about. And I grew up in the 1900s, so.
I love that way to say it. Yeah. And that's a great perspective on it. Is, you know, as a libertarian leaning, if you don't have a problem with it, as you say, it's a ground ball for technology within the police community. Eric Winstrom, he is the chief of Pensacola Police. As always, Eric, thank you so much for the time. Glad to know your family is here. And, you know, that's always better. And that you passed your test, and now you're officially a cop since High Noon yesterday. And I feel like the Ennio Morricone soundtrack ought to be running. But fully and officially welcome to town to the job, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Talk soon.
Absolutely. If you're not familiar what I was thinking about there, I mean, I assume you know, but maybe you don't know. Would you put my computer on there, PJ? You can't be a lawman and say High Noon, and we don't think about Westerns. So anyway, it's good. And I love that comment that, you know, because he has been at other agencies, obviously, in New York and in Chicago and in Grand Rapids. And he said, yeah, at both the last two agencies, different faces, same screen on their phone that they're reading from all of these talking points. From, you know, they make it seem like it's such a uniquely Pensacola thing that the socialists are doing. But yeah, in reality, I mean, they're all working from this same script that's been provided to them from sort of their national organizers, which I think is a good point. Which, by the way, is entirely their right, you know, entirely within their First Amendment. No big deal. Actually, you know, this is kind of a funny thing. I was at PSD the other day, and we got approached during Pirate Fest to sign a petition for somebody to get on the ballot. And it was for, I forget her name, but the gal who's running for mayor as the socialist. And I asked the person, I said, yeah, hey, is this the socialist? And he's like, yeah, the, you know, People for Liberation, Socialism, or whatever they actually call it. I'm like, oh, okay. And I was going to sign it. Then I remembered, I don't live in the city. I can't sign it. But I would sign for anybody to run for office, even somebody who I think is off their rocker in terms of their politics, because I believe in that. But it was kind of funny to see them out organizing at PSC, trying to get signatures for the socialist. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are going to have had one, possibly two owners, 10 to maybe 40,000 miles, 1 to 3 or 4 years young. They're going to be in great shape. They may not smell like the brand new car, you know, but that's about it. That's the real difference. Like, we bought our Honda Odyssey from them a few years ago, and it was 12,000 miles or 13, whatever it was, right in that vicinity. It had been driven 1 year on a lease in Orlando, got brought back to the dealership. They couldn't sell it, and 90 days later, or 75, I forget, something like that, they put it up for auction. Frontier bought it and sold it to us. It's a perfect car. It just isn't brand new, which means we saved a lot of money buying it. Exactly. We weren't even looking to buy a car. We were just looking to test drive one, so we knew what we wanted to buy to make sure. And the price was so good, and it was exactly what we want. Plus, it was our, you know, the color we had been looking for, our unicorn, we called it. And we just bought it. And then they took care of us afterwards in ways that we did not expect. Just Frontier's fantastic. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi.
Daniel will not stop crying. I changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Visit Pensacola's home for all things Pensacola. I'm Nicole Stacy, Vice President of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beaches, festivals, and all things fun. You don't want to miss it.
Thing too that I love about where we live and our beaches is that they're family beaches.
Today at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
As a business owner, you want less to worry about. You want proven, simple concepts and tools that just do what they said they will do, and proof that those tools work. Well, that's ADX Digital. Simple digital concepts that move the needle for your business. Reporting that proves the results and market-leading customer service. And that's what we do.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
That's the sound of an old box full of sterling silver flatware that you'll never use. Do you have a handful of old nugget jewelry, broken chains, and class rings? At today's gold and silver prices, these items are worth thousands of dollars. If you could use some extra money, come see Clayton or Sarah at Antiquarian Jewelers in Gulf Breeze proper, where they've been continuously paying top dollar for anything made of precious metals since 1978. Antiquarian Jewelers buys and sells gold and silver coins, too, located at 12 Live Oak Street next to Dunkin' Donuts.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go. We've got all the details. News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Do you know a Clarence Wally?
Yes.
Do you know where we can find him?
Yes, I do.
Looking out a dirty old window, outside the cars in the city go rushing by. I sit here alone and I wonder why.
Really interesting small story. Marines are headed to the Middle East with rifles that have anti-drone smart scopes that allow them, by looking through the eyepiece in conjunction with some computer technology, to aim at a drone, and then the gun literally won't fire until the gun believes you're going to hit the drone, correcting for movement of the shooter, movement of the drone, air, and all of that. Now, you can turn that feature off and use it regular, but think about what that technology might mean for ordinary use of rifles against enemy targets, non-drone targets.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Holding all the cards, I'm CJ Papa, Fox News. President Trump believes he has the upper hand in the ongoing war with Iran.
They have all new leadership and they're fighting like cats and dogs. But who's going to control?
The president believes Iran's leadership is in tatters as he continues to play the waiting game.
President Trump indicates he is not rushing to make a deal with Iran because he says infighting within the regime's leadership has complicated negotiating efforts. He says Iran is the one under pressure, arguing their infrastructure could crumble if they don't get their oil moving soon. Iran's supreme leader now issuing a rare statement denying that Iran's regime has a rift. He says due to the strange unity created among compatriots, a fracture has occurred in the enemy. Cohesion has become even greater and more steel-like, and the enemies will become more wretched and diminished.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. A third aircraft carrier has arrived in the Strait of Hormuz. As the naval blockade continues, the Department of War will deliver an update on the conflict in the Middle East at 8 a.m. Eastern. War Secretary Pete Hegseth, along with America's top general Dan Kane, will be in the Pentagon press briefing room. And a U.S. soldier is accused of using inside information regarding the capture of a world leader to reap a huge windfall.
Gannon Ken Van Dyke is charged with violating the Commodity Exchange Act, wire fraud, and unlawful monetary transaction. Federal prosecutors say the 38-year-old active-duty soldier in the U.S. Army was involved in the planning and execution of the operation to capture Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. He's accused of opening an account on the prediction market site Polymarket in December, using classified information to bet more than $30,000 that Maduro would be out by January, allegedly winning more than $400,000. A rep for the FBI saying in a statement, Van Dyke allegedly betrayed his fellow soldiers by utilizing classified information for his own financial gain. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
America's listening to Fox News.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Here's a tale of Becky. Didn't know what to do with new meds prescribed and no real cost clue.
She squinted at prices. That can't be right. Then tapped GoodRx and saw the light.
She can get a deal. Book telehealth if she feel.
Learn about those meds without any stress. That one little app does all the rest. Even my horse downloaded it. Dang, save time and money on prescriptions.
Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance.
They are surveying the damage this morning in the city of Enid, Oklahoma, after it was devastated by an enormous tornado.
We don't know how many are missing or if anybody's safe or not, so everyone needs to come together to pray for those families.
Fox 25 Oklahoma City's Rob Hagan.
There are power lines down everywhere. There are multiple power poles down, and of course, the neighborhood is completely blacked out. Now, we are right at the mouth of where the damage is. We've seen multiple emergency vehicles. They're combing through the debris, looking for people that may be injured. Now, I have seen at least 12 ambulances and even more emergency vehicles combing all through these streets. Now, we did come off of U.S. Highway 81 southbound and Southgate Drive, where the road has been blocked to the Air Force Base. That's where most of the emergency vehicles were headed.
Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt says he's speaking to local leaders, working with them as they assess the damage and identify needs. House Republicans are trying to come up with a compromise to pass the bill the Senate agreed to this week that would fund the Department of Homeland Security.
Some in the House GOP want to add in other items like aspects of the Save America Act. House Speaker Mike Johnson says funding just ICE and CBP has to be separate.
The Senate did what was expected. It has to be clean because it's got to be quick. That's the challenge. So we're going to socialize that with everybody, and then we're going to move right to reconciliation.
The Trump administration wants this reconciliation bill to fund parts of DHS passed by June 1st. Johnson says some of the other asks may be included in yet another reconciliation bill later this year. And he says they still need to take up the Senate's appropriation bill to fund the rest of Homeland Security as well. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
No surprise, at the top of the NFL draft held in Pittsburgh, Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza goes number one overall to the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm CJ Papa, and this is Fox News.
Good morning, 6:05 at News Radio 92.3, and we've got 62 degrees right now. Looks like a nice, clear morning. We'll get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson, and that's up in just a few minutes. First, checking in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. No problems or delays to your report. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Well, the University of West Florida has now rewritten its public comment policy for the first time in about a decade. President Manny Diaz telling trustees yesterday morning that the changes are just to bring UWF in line with other public bodies.
This is bringing this board's policy in line with the Board of Governors. It is in line with local governments. It is in line with other boards at the university system. It is in line with legislative process. So, this is nothing out of the norm.
And under the updated policy, speakers have to provide their name, address, and their relationship to the university. The board also guaranteed a minimum of 30 minutes for public comment at every meeting, with the chair able to extend that time if demand warrants it. A Pensacola sports tourism leader has received the highest honor in his industry. Ray Palmer, president and CEO of Pensacola Sports, was inducted into the Sports Events and Tourism Association Hall of Fame. This was yesterday at the organization's annual conference in Las Vegas. Palmer is in his 25th year leading the organization.
It is the ultimate honor, as I said, in 30-something years of the industry. Only 25 other people have been nominated or been inducted into their Hall of Fame. It is a huge honor to me personally and to all of the people who work at Pensacola Sports and have worked at Pensacola Sports with me.
Pensacola.